The Games of Mythicon. Mythicon made three games for the Atari 2600, all designed as budget titles selling for $9.99. All of them ended up filling the bargain bins at KB Toy & Hobby during the North American video game crash. But were they really all that bad? Today we find out.
Into the vertical blind, Generation Atari.
E.T. the Extraterrestrial for the Atari 2600 might not be the best game ever made, but it has a cool title screen, and it offers a complete, albeit short, challenge to be completed. While there are some unfortunate choices, it's mostly bug-free. However, E.T. the Extraterrestrial has been called the worst game ever made, and we just don't believe it. We are here to collect evidence to see exactly where E.T. falls on the bad game spectrum. In this series, we will test other notorious games from the Golden Age and see how they stack up in comparison. This is Into the Vertical Blanks, Worse Than E.T., The Games of Mythicon. First, a correction. In the last episode about Airlock, I got the year wrong for the Airlock bankruptcy. The article from Arcade Express about Data Age filing Chapter 11 was from May 8, 1983, not May 8, 1984, which makes a lot more sense now that I think about it. Firefly. In the last episode about Airlock, I asked if anyone had an idea for the worst game for the Atari 2600. Several people suggested I take a look at Firefly. I really did not think any game could be worse than Airlock, but I was so wrong. In Firefly, you shoot things. You may be in a garden. The instructions say your job on the first one is to collect the firefly, but I just die when I do it. If it's even there, sometimes it just skips to the second screen. No matter, you can just leave the screen and go to the next. Each screen has a different sprite to shoot at. They are all colorful. There are four or five levels. You will shoot at things like angry jack-o'-lanterns and little red imps. This is how Firefly is introduced. Test pilot log March 17, 2093, on what started to be the routine high-speed test of an interplanetary craft, Delta 12. A power plant malfunction caused the craft to skip off the rim of a small black hole. After experiencing level 5 turbulence, I became unconscious. Upon awakening, I found myself in a time and place unknown to me, the craft having been completely destroyed. The place I am in is inhabited by bug-like creatures. Through thought waves, the inhabitants explain that they are part of a culture originally insect-like but now almost entirely mechanical. As their biological body parts began to age beyond effective use, they replaced them with mechanical parts. Through their will to survive, they eventually created an entire society composed of machines. Okay, that's all fine, but what does any of this have to do with angry jack-o'-lanterns and little red imp demons? This is what the game features page says in the instructions. Firefly by Mythicon offers tremendous variety in the types of enemies you, as the Firefly, will encounter. So I guess you're not trying to get the Firefly in the first screen. By continually moving from one screen to the next, you are actually playing several games in one. Each enemy moves differently and requires different skills of the player. The first challenge is to rescue the pixie. Oh, it's a pixie. While appearing easy, be cautious of the enemy bee. He is very good at determining where you are, and his sting is deadly. Rich, should you survive and rescue the pixie, you are faced with the flaming pumpkin. He is so hot that merely touching him will be fatal. He also has an unlimited supply of deadly pumpkin seeds to fire at you. The next screen brings you to the true meanness of demons. Their touch and cannon shots are to be avoided at all costs. The bats will be waiting should the unlikely occur and you survive. The bad bugs aren't worried. However, since they have a sun full of shooting balls of fire ready to ruin your day. If that isn't enough, you can try your luck against the coiled serpents. For the truly talented players who make it through the series of bad bug tricks, don't worry, they will be there again for you in your next journey through the land of bad bugs. Wait, where is this bee? What game are these instructions describing? So, some of the sprites in the game use the Tia chip's built-in function to triple on the screen, but the triple sprite really has no effect. If you shoot one, it shoots them all. If you shoot the sprite, a treasure appears, you pick it up to get points. Then you move to the next screen. Repeat. Okay, let's break some of this down. On the first screen, you're supposed to get the pixie and avoid the bee, but you also need to be careful when you hit the restart button because you will start on whatever level displayed at the time, and sometimes that's not the one with the pixie on it. On the first screen, if you start there, the pixie's at the bottom and there is some static around it. That static is the bee. It appears like there's no way to get the pixie, but I did eventually pick it up. I don't think it has any effect on the game, though. And then each screen after that has a sprite to shoot. That's it. The only thing it has going for it is some of the sprites are cute. Everything else is just awful and incomprehensible. And the music is just horrific. Honestly, this is what I think would be the output if you asked AI to randomly generate an Atari 2600 game. But the thing is, it's not the worst Mythicon game. It gets worse. Sorcerer. In Sorcerer, your job is to shoot stuff, just like in Firefly. In fact, if you already played Firefly, this game will look very familiar. This is how Sorcerer is introduced in the manual. Many centuries ago, the Earth was ruled by sorcerers and wizards. They possessed mystical powers capable of both good and evil. The most respected influences in the land were from the good sorcerers. This fact continually disturbed the evil wizards, and they eventually decided to use their power to conquer the countryside and enslave its people. They devised a plan to systematically eliminate the good sorcerers by sending wave after wave of diabolical creatures to ravage the world. As the bravest of the good sorcerers, you have been asked to destroy these forces and save the planet. As a reward for your bravery, whenever you overcome or destroy a creature, you'll receive a treasure. Knowing your bravery, the wizards have done everything within their power to keep you from succeeding. They don't believe you will survive their first three waves of evil, but just in case you do, they have several surprises waiting. Only you can discover through bravery and talent how evil they have become. To give you more power over the forces of evil, the good sorcerers have provided a magical flying platform. When you start on your journey, you should first catch this elusive platform. You can continue without it, but only the foolish would dare do so. Once on the flying platform, you can go anywhere on the screen to avoid or destroy the enemy. The good sorcerers have also given you four lives to use against the forces of evil. I'm really starting to enjoy these Mythicon manuals. They're not really good by any measure, but more like fanciful, like what this game could have been, peppered with reality like shooting creatures and picking up treasures, which make this game honestly sound exactly like Firefly, which you can see it really is. Here's the feature list from the game. Game features. Sorcerer by Mythicon offers tremendous variety in the types of enemies you as a sorcerer will encounter. As you get better, you will open screen after screen of additional forces of evil. As you get into higher score levels, the forces of evil continue their changes, making it even harder to keep moving on. By automatically making the game more interesting as your skills improve, you should get more enjoyment from Sorcerer than many of the games available today. Wow, they really shot for the skies with that one. The music in Sorcerer was created especially for Mythicon. You will notice that as you destroy an enemy, the music changes. As soon as you enter another screen containing forces of evil, the music will warn you to be cautious. On the first screen, you push up and try to land on a floating platform, which is kind of like rescuing the pixie. Just do this until you get it right. Once you're on the platform, you can float to the next screen. You can also float to the next screen without the platform, but that's no fun. After that, on each successive screen, you shoot at different multicolored sprites of something. It's nearly the same game as Firefly. Every screen uses the triple sprite effect, but again, it serves little purpose to the game. I was only able to get to four screens so far, so I'm not sure how many different sprites and treasures there are. They try to explain the floating platform mechanic by saying you were a wizard, but basically this is just Firefly with a magic carpet. I mean, really, I'll say this again. It's the same game as Firefly. It's what we called in the Flash browser game days a reskin. Like when you take Strawberry Shortcake Match 3 and turn it into Nestle Butterfinger Match 3. It even has a similar non-stop grating soundtrack as Firefly, dressed up as a feature. Instead of calling this Sorcerer, they should have called it what it really was. Firefly, the bug fix. A horizontal scrolling shooter. But wait, what's that sound? It's a constant beeping. What is this? It's Star Fox from Mythicon, of course, the third and final game of their lineup. Here is how it was introduced. Patrol Communique 4024/8. Friendly robot freighter downed on planetoid Beta 7 in your quadrant. cargo, valuable trimletazium energy crystals, enemy star cruiser with fighter drones en route to confiscate these highly valuable blue energy crystals. Mission, recover as many crystals as possible. Destroy all enemy fighter drones you encounter. Intelligence reports that enemy is combat testing new models of these drones and will periodically replace them during melee. Mission status, critical. Expect extreme danger when penetrating orange atmosphere of Beta 7 planetoid. The energy crystals have ionized the gases to such an extent that your horizontal drives will be useless. You may not be able to move left or right at low altitudes. No further communication authorized. Good hunting. But as I play, none of this appears to be the case. Crystals? Where? Down at the bottom? One at a time? That's it? Here's a list of features from the instructions. Game features. Star Fox by Mythicon has a high level of computer intelligence built in. The enemy is very smart and always knows where you are. It has an automatic tracking system which tells at what altitude you are flying, what airspeed you are maintaining, and your rate of acceleration and deceleration. Because of the extraordinary sensing devices aboard, a fighter drone is capable of detecting your every motion except when bombing. It will attempt to evade your laser cannon and reestablish an attack position behind your ship. Its sensors will also detect your entry into Beta 7's atmosphere. While you are recovering the trimultasium crystals, it will assume a bombing mode since it's not constructed to survive the ionized gases of the atmosphere. In this mode, it will detect your location, hover above you, and release tactical bombs. When you rise out of the atmospheric level, it reassumes its attack mode and firing of its missiles. So all of this, and I mean all of the features, sound like one of two things. One, the implementation of a computer science 101 Dalek-style robot following algorithm, with two, programming bugs that they could not root out, so they just highlighted them as features. It's pretty obvious that this was an unfinished experiment packed up as a game, even more unfinished than Firefly and Sorcerer. Oh my god, Star Fox by Mythicon might be the most cynical, terrible, and horrific game ever made. It has some interesting points. It simulates horizontal scrolling. The laser shot uses a cool color cycle effect. The background uses color gradation on each scan line. But then the game comes, and it's just your ship shooting at one UFO-shaped thing with the most awful sounds ever imagined coming out of the speaker. It makes me wish for the sweet relief of a game of Firefly. Contemporary news and reviews. I cannot find any contemporary news about Mythicon or reviews of their games. I did find a single advertisement from the Sacramento Bee from October 18, 1983. The games are selling for $9.99 at Long's Drugs. This is what it says. Mythicon game cartridges offer exciting action and high quality graphics at affordable prices. Whether you want multi-screen adventures or fast-paced galactic encounters, Mythicon games provide hours of entertainment at the right price. None of that is true. Game Club. Wait. What is this? What a surprise. A company like Mythicon created their own video game club for kids. And oddly enough, it sounds suspiciously like the club Data Age created. This is what it says. A special invitation from the star of Mythicon. Welcome to the exciting world of Mythicon. We hope you found this video adventure to be as challenging and fun as any home games you've ever enjoyed. To add to your enjoyment, we're extending this special invitation to join the ranks of the Mythicon Inner Circle. As an honored Inner Circle member, you'll be entitled to the following privileges. You'll receive previews of exciting new Mythicon video games before they are released to the general public. You can qualify for special Inner Circle Achievement Awards by sending your best scores to the Mythicon Star Council. And you might be asked to help the Star Council create a brand new video game. Wait, stop there. This is what makes me very angry. Data Age had something like this in their club too. Theirs said, plus a special game design competition that could turn your winning concept into a best-selling video game cartridge and much, much more. I was 12 years old back then. I was one of the kids who loved video games and had dreams and aspirations to make video games when I grew up. And here were these fly-by-night, flimsy, cynical companies with offers to have contests that would most likely just steal kids' game ideas and their hopes and dreams with them. It's not like this didn't happen. In 1986, two kids tried to sue Atari Games over their idea for Paperboy, claiming it was an idea they sent Atari. Whether or not it was a valid case, it begs the question, how many other times did this happen and never get uncovered or never made it to the news or courts? One thing I've been told about the North American video game crash that resonates is that it was a benefit to poor kids. With games discounted and filling bargain bins, their parents could finally get them the games they've been asking for years. Finally, they could enjoy video games, but most of these companies were out of business by then. I'm sure many of those kids formed dreams of their own to make video games and had ideas and wanted someone to listen. These were the kids that were most likely struck by this grift. I can just imagine some kid somewhere who desperately wanted someone to hear about their game idea, drawing little screenshots at the kitchen table, writing a long form letter explaining all about it, saving up for postage, then going to the post office to mail it with their mom, and afterwards waiting, hopefully, forever, because they were never, ever going to hear back. Maybe no one read those letters, or maybe some ex-owners collected the mail and read the ideas and took them to their next job. Who knows? All I know is most likely some important kid dreams were destroyed by these cynical bastards. Just what poor kids need, another shitty adult letting them down. And this is what irks me the most about the North American video game crash. It's not these jokers who went out of business. Those guys were adults. They could pack up and follow the next cynical grift after the next. It was the fans that got left holding the short end of the stick. The kids left with dreams that could never be fulfilled. They had nowhere to put their disappointment. They just had to suck it up and feel burned and move on. That's the way for Generation X, or more specifically, Generation Atari. But I digress, because I discovered this. To join the inner circle, just complete the attached warranty card and mail it to the Mythicon Star Council. You'll receive your membership package by return mail. If you're already an Inner Circle member, complete and return the warranty card to register your new Mythicon video game. As far as I can tell from the package content scanned on AtariMania.com, it doesn't appear as if there were any warranty cards in the boxes, so while this club might have sounded enticing, there might have been no way to join the club unless maybe you sent a letter to their P.O. Box printed inside the manual. Mythicon Inc. Service Department, to P.O. Box 1347 Cupertino, California 95015. Legacy. Mythicon Games have made multiple worst lists over the years. I'd like to highlight this one from Kevin Olianix, I must have murdered his name, on digitalpress.com, written in 1991. It's probably one of the first fan-made lists of this type, given some perspective of the Atari 2600. For Firefly, Kevin says, Firefly. Who was Mythicon kidding when they released their three terrible games, claiming they were first in a series of? This dud's concept was too simple and too repetitious. No backgrounds or sound effects, and the music would test anyone's nerves. Firefly wouldn't fly high on anyone's list. And then Kevin goes on, Sorcerer. Reading the instructions, which make the game sound too good to pass up, is actually much more amusing than the game itself. If you purchase Firefly by Mythicon, then you have already seen this game, covered up slightly with different graphics. If you bought both, you made two mistakes. That's just really funny, Kevin. Good job. And then Kevin says this about Star Fox. Star Fox, another loser released by this company. Your ship is defenseless at the bottom of the screen, and amazingly, the gems become intelligent and avoid your efforts while taking advantage of the fact that your ship cannot move sideways while at the bottom. Only one enemy and one gem per screen. The playfield and difficulty never change. Okay, to sum it all up. One plus of all the Mythicon games is the box art. I love the painted pictures for each game box, but that's all there is to like. Every Mythicon game has a little smiling face on the top of the screen, taunting you. They must have known these games were a horrible joke. The face is to let you know they are in on it. They were in on causing the North American video game crash. In on creating these horrid games that will haunt your dreams. They were complicit. They were the worst of the worst. Actually, the happy face denotes practice mode, but honestly, you won't really know the practice mode from the actual game. The developer created it to make it easier to test the games. You can find out more about the development of Mythicon games at this Atari Age thread. But to give a quick summary, a post on Atari Age from Joel D. Park in 2004 shed some light on how these games were developed. Park received an email response from Mr. Mythicon himself, who said a couple interesting things. First, he had this to say about his own games. They were crap, weren't they? We didn't know how to force the fine horizontal adjustment and had to experiment. Then he had this to say about what happened to the company itself. Wells Fargo Bank told us, among many, that we would not get a line of credit, not to any video game company, even Atari, because we were all doomed. There's a lot more in the post, and I encourage you to go and read the entire thing. So, are Mythicon games worse than Bobby's Going Home? God, yes. Are they worse than E.T.? They are, of course. Are they worse than Tax Avoiders? Yeah. Are they worse than Airlock? Well, Firefly and Sorcerer are about on par, so they can go on that line with Airlock. Then comes Star Fox. I can't believe I'm saying that there is a game worse than Airlock, Bugs, and Warplock, but there is. It's Star Fox, for sure. It's obviously not even a game, so Star Fox can't be put on the same level at all. Instead, we'll make an even lower row called Worserer. I think now we may have done it. We may have found the worst game ever for the Atari 2600.
We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.